Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. It's great to be with you today. It's a beautiful day here in Kenya, bright and sunny. 85 degrees is the forecast for today, and we had a great rain yesterday. We have the crops all planted out at the farm and have maize and groundnuts, beans, sweet potatoes, a lot of different crops planted. And so we're very thankful for the rain, and today looks like it's going to be a beautiful sunny day. And so we're going to be talking today about bitterness, how it affects us, how it defiles our soul, how it clings to us, and everybody has to deal with this. We all get offended in life. We all have circumstances and situations in life that are very painful. People come against us, people betray us, people speak against us, and sometimes the people that betray us are the ones that loved us the day before or the week or the month before, even our spouses and people that we have pledged vows to. And so bitterness is a common thing to people of every walk of life, of every race and every place on the earth. And so the Lord speaks to us about bitterness because it's very important that we know how to deal with bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Well, beloved, bitterness there is listed with wrath and with anger and with clamor. You know, a person that clamors is making a lot of racket. They're making a lot of noise. They're making a lot of boisterous claims and even evil speaking or slander or malicious gossip or planting rumors that are intended to tear other people down and intended to smudge other people's reputation and tarnish other people's good name. Paul says, let all of that be put away from you. And so you have to listen to your words. You listen to your words, and as you speak about people, as you speak about other people in your life, maybe even family, maybe your spouse or your children, think about your words. Listen to your words. What are you saying about them? You know, the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so you can destroy people with your words. You can destroy good relationships with your words. You can destroy marriages with your words. You can destroy relationships with your children with your words. And so you have to be very careful and think before you speak. You have to be wise in the choice of your words and be very kind when you speak to people. Think about how they will receive your words, what impact your words will have on them. And if you do that, and then make an attempt, maybe you've had a problem with cussing, maybe you've had a problem with foul language and certain four-letter words come out of your mouth very easily. It says, put all wrath and anger and evil speaking, put it away from you. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, beloved, as we go through this life, you know there are many painful events that happen to every single person. And some people have unspeakable things, unspeakable events that happen to them, betrayal and physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, all kinds of abuse and all kinds of betrayal. Sometimes you just don't think you can live through it. If you live through those things, you're shocked. I tell you, there's only one way that you can live through great betrayal and people who do a lot of damage to you physically, emotionally, sexually. There's only one way, and that is you have to trust Jesus to come in and heal your heart. You have to trust Jesus to come in and put the balm of Gilead, that healing balm of Gilead, upon your heart, so those wounds and those fissures and that scar tissue of your heart can be sealed up. And then you have to make a conscious choice to forgive those people who have hurt you. Make a conscious choice. It's not a natural thing. Our natural desire is to lash out and to speak evil against those people and to take vengeance upon them and try to settle the score, try to even things up. And we know that eventually if you do that, the bitterness and that anger and that unforgiveness will just eat at you, and it will cause even more problems in the future that will cause you to make decisions that are very bad decisions, unwise decisions, and you will live to regret when you lash out at people and when you carry out your own vengeance. And so the Lord says, forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, Jesus Christ forgave you. He forgives us of all our sins. He became sin on our behalf, that those of us who have sinned, we could know the righteousness of God. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he, that is God, made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took our sins, your every way that you have transgressed, all your lies, your cheating, your stealing, your adultery, or whatever it is you've done against your fellow man and against God, all of that Jesus took to the cross. He nailed it on the cross with himself, or you might better say that we nailed it on the cross with Jesus, and he took our sins upon the cross. And all of our sins are nailed on the cross with Jesus Christ. His precious blood covers your sin. It covers my sin. Thank God for that. And so he who knew no sin, that sinless, perfect lamb, he went to the cross and he said, I'll take the sins of the world upon my shoulder. I'll take the sins of the world upon my back that has been lashed with the cat of nine tails. I'll take the sins of the world on my hands and let the spikes be driven through them and the blood drip down through his hands and through his feet. And beloved, thank God that our sins are forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, beloved, you can't cleanse your own sin. There is no way. You have to trust the Lord Jesus that his blood is sufficient to cleanse you of all of your sins. It says in verse 9, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Well, beloved, when you recognize that you're a sinner, when you recognize that you have transgressed not only the laws of God, but the laws of man, and you have offended your brother, you have offended your sister, then you know that you need a Savior. Then you know that you need to be reconciled back to God. And so Jesus Christ has forgiven us, and he spoke from the cross, Father, forgive them. Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, or they parted his robes, and they cast lots. And so Jesus Christ, even after they had nailed him to the cross, even after they had whipped him at the whipping post, even after they had spit in his face and hit him in the face and pulled the beard out of his face, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They're just acting in ignorance. They have a ignorant, sinful nature, and that is every single one of us. Beloved, we all have an ignorant, sinful nature. It is our propensity to do foolish things, to make foolish, unwise decisions. It is our propensity to speak evil against other people and to not be kind and to take vengeance on other people. But the Lord says, forgive just as I have forgiven you. And so as Jesus Christ forgave us, we too then need to forgive those who have come against us. when Jesus was talking about telling the disciples how they should pray, he says in Matthew chapter 6, this is the Lord's Prayer. This is the example prayer. It's not a rote prayer necessarily. We don't need to just speak this out of tradition and out of rote memory, but we need to use this as an example. He said to the disciples in Matthew 6, 9, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And in verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let me repeat those two verses to you again. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, as I read this, this becomes a very serious issue then if you are carrying bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. And if you carry it, it not only has consequences for us on this earthly level, it not only has consequences for our walk here, and it has health consequences, it has consequences for our mental stability, our state of mind, you could say, but it has consequences for eternity, because it says that if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so this becomes a salvation issue as I see it. And I don't want to put the Lord in a place where he has to say to me, well, I'm not going to take you into the kingdom of heaven because of the bitterness and the unforgiveness you have in your heart. And so you have an opportunity to forgive by the supernatural power of Jesus Christ in your life. You have an opportunity and the power to forgive. This is not a natural thing. As I spoke before, in the natural, we want to take vengeance. In the natural, we want to hold on to that anger and that bitterness and that unforgiveness. And we think that somehow we're accomplishing something and that it is causing the other person harm, it is causing the other person to stumble, or you're somehow delaying their destiny and their walk in life. But beloved, it hurts you much more than it hurts that other people. When you keep that bitterness, when you hang on to that bitterness, it eats away at you. And it starts to cause all kinds of health problems. It starts to cause all kinds of mental problems. And beloved, you cannot afford to hold on to bitterness. You cannot afford to hold on to unforgiveness. Let go of it. Put it away from you, as Paul said. Let go of it. Put it away from you. And let the Lord deal with those people. When you hold on to bitterness, and when you hold on to unforgiveness, and you plot to take vengeance, or even in your mind you speak evil of those people, the Lord, you're taking his place, and you're pretending or you're acting like God because you're trying to mete out justice, you're trying to mete out vengeance, and you're taking the place of God in your life and in that person's life because you're trying to do the Lord's work. It is the Lord who meets out justice. It is the Lord who meets out vengeance. And so when you take that upon yourself, when you take that responsibility upon yourself, you don't know all the facts. You don't know all the details. You don't know all the things that the Lord knows. He sees everything from beginning to end. He sees every detail of every situation. And so the justice that the Lord hands out, the vengeance that the Lord hands out, is always perfect, and it is right and correct in every detail. And so you cannot take vengeance for yourself. You do not do that because you're taking the place of the Lord. You're usurping his authority. And so do not do that. Let go of unforgiveness. Let go of bitterness. Let go of wrath and anger. And take the peace of the Lord in your heart and in your mind and in your attitude and your words towards other people. Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the Apostle Paul here, the writer of Hebrews, says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God." Well, let me read verse 14 again. Pursue peace with all people. That is, even the ones who have harmed you, those who have spoken ill of you, those who have betrayed you. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. In other words, you have to have holiness in your life. You have to be pursuing holiness. You have to be pursuing peace. If you are not, and you do not have those things in your life, Paul says, you will not see the Lord. Looking carefully, verse 15, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Well, God's grace is sufficient for us in every situation. God's grace is sufficient for us for salvation. It is by grace you're saved and not through any works of our own. And it is by grace that we are pulled up out of the miry clay, out of our foolish and ignorant ways, out of our stupid decisions. It is by grace that God saves us many times from our own stupidity, from dangerous situations that we put ourselves in. And so we want to walk in the grace of God, but we do not use that grace as a license to sin. We do not walk under the covering of God's grace and say, okay, well, maybe what I'm doing is okay, even though you know it's a sin, even though you know it is not a wise thing to be doing, whatever it is you're doing. Do not use grace as a license to sin, for his grace is a free gift to us, but it can be withdrawn at any time. He said, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And so if you fall short of it, you're going to be putting yourself in very precarious situations. And then the last part of that, verse 15, Hebrews 12, it says, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Well, when you have a root of bitterness, it starts as a thought. You're against some person in your mind. You're speaking evil of them. Maybe even you're outspoken in your speaking evil of them, and your evil then in your mind starts to form into acts of vengeance, acts of murder, acts of hatred, acts of violence. And so that root of bitterness, it starts just like a little seed. You have this unforgiveness, and the Lord says, let go of it. You have this bitterness, and the Lord says, let go of it. But you say, no, I want to take vengeance on that person. I want to somehow cause that person harm. I want to speak evil of that person. Maybe I can wreck their plan. Maybe I can wreck their life. Maybe I can wreck the relationship that they have with somebody that I love, or whatever it is. But that little seed that the devil plants in your mind to take vengeance on that person and to speak evil of them, it starts to grow, and it starts to grow, and it goes down into your soul, and it attaches to your soul. And first thing you know, you have bitterness, and you have anger, and you have hatred, and you have ulcers, and you have migraine headaches, and you have all of these things that are coming from the fact that you did not let go of that seed. And it started out as a tiny thought, and it now is a root of bitterness that goes down through your whole body and grips your soul, and you are now defiled. Paul says, by this many have become defiled. And so when you think about a soul that is defiled, just think of a glass of clear water. And if you put one drop of black ink in that glass of clear water, the whole glass turns black. And so that is what it's like when you have a root of bitterness down in your soul. That bitterness then just takes over every part of your being. You walk through the grocery store and you see so many people that look angry, they look sad, they look like they have no joy in their life, they have no peace. They don't see the people that they're walking past. They have nothing good to say to the people in their life. They have nothing good to say to their wife or their spouse or their family. And that root of bitterness has taken over their whole life. And anger and bitterness then becomes the hallmark of their life. And so, beloved, you don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be me. I've had many things done to me and against me. People have spoken against me, even as a pastor, even as an evangelist. People have spoken evil against me, and I just have to let it wash off of my back. And I say, Lord, you have me where you want me. You're doing with me what you want me to do. I praise God for that. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I trust that you can take care of every situation and every person in my life. And you can do it with justice and righteousness and the mercy in their life. And so I pray that that is you today, that you just let go of any bitterness, any anger. Can you pray for those who have betrayed you? Can you pray for those who have hurt you and spoken evil of you or done unspeakable things to you? Can you pray for those people and ask the Lord to come in and bless them? Ask the Lord to come in and give them a blessing and straighten out their life if it needs straightening. And ask the Lord, Lord, would you just help this person? Would you bless this person so that they would not do that evil to anyone else, that they would not speak that evil to anyone else, that they would not treat anyone else the way maybe that they treated me? If you can bless those people in prayer and ask the Lord to bless those people in prayer, beloved, that is the true sign of forgiveness. That is the true sign that you have relinquished the vengeance and relinquished the payback for those people. You've turned that over to the Lord and you've put it away from you and you've let the Lord deal with it in His perfect and in His perfect timing as well. And so do not let that root of bitterness get established in you. Get rid of it before it starts to grow. Get rid of it before it goes deep down into your soul. And when your soul is defiled, then your soul is influencing your spirit and you cannot hear from the Lord. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to pray. You don't want to read the Bible. That spirit and root of bitterness then takes over your whole life. And beloved, it will draw you away from the Lord. It will cause you to listen to the devil, not only regarding wrath and anger, but in many other ways. And it can lead to very, very detrimental consequences in your life. Well, again, Jesus from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if Jesus can say that, he's speaking that not only to those people at the foot of the cross, the Roman soldiers and all the other people, even his friends, Peter, many of the disciples abandoned him, took off, and Peter openly denied him three times. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And out of ignorance and out of our human weakness, many times we offend the Lord, many times we offend our fellow man, and we are offended by our fellow man. But beloved, don't take that into your soul. Don't let your soul become defiled. Don't let your soul become like that pure glass of water that has ink in it. Let your soul be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Give up the bitterness, give up the wrath, give up the anger, and let the Lord do his perfect work with those who have offended you. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time, and we praise the Lord for the provision over the many years, 14 years now, that we have been bringing these messages to you. And so I pray that you would offer up support for this ministry. Pray that you could sit down, write us out a letter, let us know that you're listening, make out a donation to the Gather the Outcast ministry, and you will be blessed. The Lord will bless you. We will be blessed. We're using the money to carry forth the gospel crusades in Africa and the Children's Home Project in Africa. And so I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support and provision. And I pray that you would join us as we take the good news of the gospel to the nations of Africa. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a good week. God bless you. Tune in again next week.